Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today, Thursday podcast for the latest Indiana farm news and weather, and a look back at the Wednesday markets. I'm Andy Eubank. Joining me on the news, Eric Pfeiffer today for November 6th, 2025. We have a harvest update from West Central Indiana as harvest unofficially comes to a close, and what to look for in the delayed government crop report a week from Friday. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Check them out online, ffbt.com. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for one more great day before weather patterns change. And the corn and bean markets bounced back Wednesday to work higher. We'll have settlements and Tom Fritz market analysis on the HAT Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
A harvest update from West Central Indiana and USDA reports return next week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Keystone Cooperative. Attention high schoolers, join Keystone Co-op at their Mount Summit branch on November 11th to learn about career opportunities after high school. Visit KeystoneCoop.com/seed for details. The unofficial non-government harvest progress number for West Central Indiana is 99% complete. Andy Eubank has details.
The number comes from Eric Warnoff, sales agronomist with Channel, in our final Channel seed harvest update. He says there is still plenty of activity in those fields.
There's a lot of field work getting done, fertilizer getting spread, anhydrous out there. Guys are getting equipment cleaned up and put away before our weather turns on us here. This harvest has been fast and furious. We haven't slowed down since we started there early September. Performance across the board in West Central Indiana has been pretty stable. There's been some field records attained with corn and soybeans this year.
At the same time, yields varied widely across the territory.
Soybean yields this year I've seen from roughly 44, 45 bushel all the way up to 90 and a little bit higher than that. So we've seen a wide range, and most can be attributed to, you know, soil conditions, locations where there are certain types of stress factors that were above and beyond what we would normally expect.
And Eric, I know you're happy with corn yields too.
Corn has been phenomenal. We've seen 185 on the very low on some of the toughest acres, and we've seen some records attained of well above 270, 285 on fields that, you know, would normally have an APH of, you know, 250, 252 somewhere, somehow. The good Lord above gave us another 25, 30 bushel in some of those areas, and timing was critical.
A well-managed field in 2025 was a difference maker, including for those who were proactive fighting tar spot.
The guys that sprayed early, before everything was brown silked, got the exponential yield punch, you know, from the Delaro Complete that we expect to see and what we planned on for many, many years.
Hear Warnoff's full HAT and Channel seed harvest update at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank.
USDA announced late last week that they'll release several important reports this month despite the lingering government shutdown. Their crop production and WASDE reports will be released on Friday, November 14th. Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX, says we're really looking forward to seeing their production numbers.
There's a lot of numbers in there we're going to be looking forward to, but I think that probably the top numbers are those yield numbers for corn and soybeans for this year, considering how the crop finished with dryness affecting much of the Midwest and then disease affecting the corn crop as well.
Without data from the federal government, the grain markets have relied on estimates from companies like StoneX to drive direction. Suderman says their customer survey results were released earlier this week, and he was surprised.
With the corn yield actually ticking up a tenth of a bushel to 186 bushels per acre from last month's survey, soybeans dropping 3/10 of a bushel to 53.6. I wasn't as surprised by the soybeans because we've heard a lot of really good yields. Heard some good yields for corn as well, but heard a lot of very disappointing yields for corn. But as we broke down the survey results, we totally blew away some records for both corn and soybeans in portions of the western Midwest.
Also released this week were estimates from S&P Global, or Platts.
And they put the corn crop at 185.5 bushels per acre and soybeans at 53 bushels per acre. So both of those within a fraction of a bushel of our StoneX customer survey as well.
Suderman adds that it will be good to finally get information from USDA, but warns it could leave us vulnerable to a big correction if its estimates vary notably from the private estimates guiding the market currently. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got one more warm and dry day here today. Your Thursday looks pretty nice with beautiful sunshine through a large part of the day. South and southwest flow, a little bit strong at times, but this is an opportunity to get out in the field, finish up harvest. I hope you're close, because we have some pattern-changing events starting to work towards us. A frontal boundary building to our west and northwest here late afternoon, evening. Overnight, we do see scattered showers starting to push into northwest Indiana, probably ahead of sunrise. Then through the rest of the day tomorrow, that moisture moves through the rest of the state. However, I had been calling 100% coverage. Going to have to back that off to about 80% this morning, as it just looks like southern Indiana doesn't get quite as involved with this initial frontal surge through. Now, it's still not too cold behind this front, but it's not going to be as warm for your Friday as what we're seeing here today. We pause in this inclement weather overnight Friday night through a large part of Saturday. Then we see a secondary low trying to come through overnight Saturday night into Sunday. This low brings moisture. Once again, a tenth to three quarters of an inch coverage around 80 to 90% of the state. But the bigger story is behind this low, strong north flow develops. This opens the door to the Arctic, it seems, at least Canadian air, and it's going to dominate for Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday, and a Tuesday. Strong north flow coming across the Great Lakes. Plenty of clouds in here, and I think we have to leave the door open to a lake effect. Now, during the daytime hours, look, it's still going to be rain, all right? But in overnight, so Sunday overnight and Monday overnight, I will not rule out sloppy, wet snowflake action coming straight down the fetch of Lake Michigan. So this is mostly northwest Indiana that's going to be seeing this, but it is definitely possible. This is cold, cold air. We may be stuck in the 30s for highs for Monday and Tuesday. It's definitely a change in air mass. Now, as quickly as this cold air comes in, it's gone. We're starting to see south flow develop on the backside of this Canadian high overnight Tuesday night into Wednesday, and this is going to warm us the rest of the week. We're well above normal. We're sunny. We're dry. A couple rounds of cooler air trying to come back down over Michigan maybe later Thursday night and Friday, but doesn't get into Indiana. We don't see a lot of moisture in here. I just think we go back to warm and dry to finish out next week and weekend. I do think we see a little bit more moisture trying to pop up in the upper Midwest for Sunday the 16th. I'm looking for that to sag southward and give us some rain on a couple of occasions the week of the 17th. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
As harvest winds down, it's decision time in farm country. Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance is here to help Indiana farmers make smart, timely choices about nutrient management. Because viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water start with informed decisions based on vetted practices. Backed by Indiana's commodity groups as well as conservation and ag industry leaders, IANA is rooted in empowering farmers to improve nutrient use efficiency, enhance soil health, and protect water quality to drive farm success and protect our natural resources.
Back in positive territory for grains and oil seeds. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have settlements momentarily. We'll begin, though, with market analysis, which I picked up at the end of the session from Tom Fritz, EFG Group. A turnaround Tuesday as markets went lower, corn and beans, but Tom right back on the plus side. So really a pretty impressive turnaround back to some strength in these markets, led by soybeans. No surprise there.
No, there's really no surprise. We're still with the frame of mind that in the near term, over the next, the next 8 to 12 weeks, that we should see a fairly sizable amount of business from the Chinese. But, there is some folks saying, well, we're not competitive. But unfortunately, because the government's closed down, we don't get to see any overnight purchases over 100,000 tons. We follow the cash markets. Cash markets have been firm. They're interior markets, for export, you follow river locations. You follow the Gulf basis. A lot of this, tries to give you an indication of what's going on. But, here you've got a situation like today. You look at the interior soybean basis, it runs mixed. The processors, meaning the crushers, they're a little easier because crush margins have been failing a little bit. Whereas river locations are mixed. And the Gulf basis, it's steady with last night, but last night it was easing. So, what does this all mean? It's really hard to, get a handle on it. So another item we look at is open interest. When the rally started, open interest was coming down. And we're going to call that short covering. Well, now open interest has flattened out and is trying to move higher, which would suggest new buying. But it's hard to deny what the price action is telling us. And the price action, had a correction yesterday that was coming out of an overbought status. We're back into that overbought status. It's not extreme, but you're still you're back into the what I call the caution zone. And that's when the 14-day RSI is above 80. So we're back up above that now. In fact, you look at Jan Beans. It's at 76, and so that's it's a little bit overbought, but it's not like it was the other day when it was in the mid-low 80s. So it suggests from that standpoint we have room to move higher. But, it would be nice to see some confirmation of business being done. But on the other hand, we've got the meal market on our side, and soybean meal, I've always said, and you've heard me say it, when soybean meal is going higher, beans aren't going to sit still. And here you've got the meal market, was at new highs on the day for Dease meal, meaning new highs for the move. No, it matched the high we saw on Tuesday. But this is the strongest close. That's hard to ignore. New cash markets for meal, export market continues to be quite firm. We haven't seen any new advances in it, but it continues to stay strong, whereas your interior meal basis, it just kind of meanders around. It really hasn't been a privy to this party, if you will. But when the meal market's strong, it's hard to ignore. It's hard to ignore it when it comes to trading soybeans. But, I will tell you that the meal market is in the caution zone with the RSI being at 82.4. Not as high as it was the other day, but still, when you get above 80, you got to be careful chasing it. So, we'd like to have some confirmation of business being done, but unfortunately, the government's still closed. and we're not going to see any. So what do we do? Would we wait until a week from Friday, the 14th, when the USDA will give us their impression of what the updated yield is, along with the current demand numbers? And the $64,000 question, are they going to, do they need to change the demand numbers that they gave us in September to incorporate this 12 million ton deal that the Chinese said they were going to do? Personally, I don't think so. I think they always, you know, they would stall as long as they could before they'd start cutting exports. So I'd be surprised if we saw much of an increase in export projections. But the wild card will be, what's the yield? And the last couple of days, we've seen some major, couple of major entities come out and gave us what I thought were surprisingly high yield numbers. Was it StoneX? There are no slouch bean yield, 53.6. And SP Global Insight, which is the old Informa group, they're at 53 even. So those are pretty stout bean yields. So, you know, I think we're riding on the coattails that, you know, we're going to see some active buying from the Chinese. And like I said, open interest is trying to suggest that we are now seeing new buying, which, you know, for the longest time, you know, the trade was net short. So corn market, it's no slouch either. New high close on corn today, even though it's not a new high for what we've seen. But, you know, I'll take new high closes. So, you know, once again here, you know, we look around, what are the cash markets doing? And today the interior corn basis was sharply mixed. The processor was steady to easier. River locations, mostly lower. The ethanol grind locations, mostly higher. And the ethanol grind we saw today, if it's not a record, it's pretty darn close to being a record grind. So, you know, we've been doing some pretty decent weekly export inspections. So you couple that with, you know, good grind numbers, and, yeah, the corn market wants to move higher. How much higher? Well, that's the $64,000 question. You know, I think most, you know, most in the trade have been thinking your corn yield is down around 183, if not lower. We've heard a lot of lower stories, but most of those are coming out from the folks in Iowa, where it seems like that's the area where they had the biggest problems. But, you know, when you see StoneX come out with a 186 yield and the old Informa group come out with a 185.5 yield, that's not what the trade's looking for. So, it's hard to ignore the price action. And once again, during the rally, we saw open interest go down, and now it's flattened out. So it's like, okay, we've seen our run of short covering. Are these guys willing to get long? And there's a fair amount of technical resistance just over the market. But, you know, right now the price action, I've always said, you know, what's the price action telling you? And the price action is telling us we want to go higher. Well, normally, you know, you'd look at weekly export sales, but we're not going to have any export sales reports. Market's closed, or I should say USDA is closed. So they still put out estimates, but, you know, to me that's, you look at a range, okay, corn export sales estimate, 800,000 tons to 2 million tons. A spread that wide says they don't know. So, you know, we're kind of running blind in that category. And then probably the biggest surprise we've got here is the wheat market. Lots of rumors about China looking at U.S. soft red wheat. A week ago, the story was dark northern spring. Then the story was white wheat. And now the latest story is soft red wheat. And our Gulf basis the other night did jump 10 to 15 cents. But once again, we've got nothing in print that says they've done any business. And spreads really haven't done that much. We're already seeing the liquidation in the nearby Dees, you know, ahead of first notice day, which is still a month away. But this is the time frame when your big funds, index-type funds, start rolling. So, you know, okay, so Dees is going to lose the March, just like it is in the corn. But I don't know. Price action, it's hard to deny it. You know, this is the highest the wheat market's been in, looking at deep wheat. This is the highest it's been going back to late July. But if you pull up a chart on deep wheat, what happened in late July? Well, that's when we fell out of bed. And we fell out of bed from the mid-50s. And here we are back to the mid-50s. So I'm a little leery of the wheat market up here, especially since we don't have any confirmation of any business being done other than, some improvements in basis. So, but bottom line, all our markets look really, really strong. The price action is telling us that. Do we want to chase the rally? Well, I'm too much of a conservative, especially since, you know, I think in the case of Jan Beans, yeah, there's resistance at 1140. So that makes me a little leery. In the case of corn, resistance starts at 440. So that makes me a little leery. And in the case of December wheat, we are in what I think is really good resistance. But, you know, I'll repeat it again. What's the price action telling us?
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis. Tom is at EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements now from Wednesday trade. December corn ends up 3 3/4, 4.35 1/4. March at 4.49 1/2, up 4 3/4. November beans 11 1/2 better, 11.19 3/4. Jan contract settles at 11.34 1/4, up 12 3/4. And Chicago wheat, December 5.54 3/4, up 4.5 cents. Both feeder cattle and live cattle futures, the limit down. December live cattle, 220.52, down $7.25. December lean hogs picked up 67 cents, ending at $80.60. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.